The announcer's voice reverberated through Sterling Mon's head, bringing him away from the edge of unconsciousness and back to the X Games blaring from the TV. He knew that voice, hated that voice, especially after it had broken up with him on live national television. He fumbled for the remote so he could change the channel, the pain in his leg amping up to a sharp ache. One glance at the clock on the Blu-ray player told him he'd missed his last dosage of painkillers by an hour. Sterling didn't care. When the nurse came, she'd force-feed it to him. He hit a button, and that traitorous, cheating female voice changed into the theme song for a cooking show. He lowered the volume and dropped the remote. It made a weird clunking sound as it hit last night's pizza box. Or maybe last week's pizza box. Sterling had stopped cleaning up after his first night at the cabin, 8 days ago. Sleep eluded him for a few minutes as he listened to the evening wind batter the windows. At least it wasn't the neighbors, the closest ones up here in Gold Valley's exclusive cabin community, were at least 100 yards away. Not that Sterling had been admiring the lush pine forest and miles of trails surrounding his family's cabin. He hadn't moved from the couch in the basement for more than the necessities for days. His eyes drifted closed, and he sank into the darkness that had consumed his mind so readily since the accident. A thump from the second floor jolted him awake. His heart pounded as his mind frantically searched for an explanation to the sound. The wind had died, but it could have been an animal. Could have been a raccoon or a rat. A scrape echoed through the ceiling, like someone, not a raccoon or a rat, had slid a chair across the floor. Sterling sat up, fully awake now. Because someone was in the house. He calmed his breathing and swallowed his pulse back to its proper spot in his chest. His police training required him to be alert, focused, and calm in stressful situations. True, he hadn't been active in his unit since last fall, when he'd started the professional snowboarding circuit. But once a cop, always a cop. He stood, careful to put minimal weight on his still-healing knee. The cast had come off last week, but he still wore a full leg brace, which made walking difficult. And climbing stairs? Sterling hadn't done it in weeks. His back creaked with his first step, and his left foot felt numb because of the reduced circulation from the brace. A pain behind his right eye balanced both sides of his body with aches he couldn't erase with a couple of pills. Another noise, bump, ba-bump, from the second floor urged him toward the stairs, where he lifted his injured leg first. One down, 15 to go. For the first time, he cursed the size of the cabin. 7,000 square feet, spanning 3 floors. 2 kitchens, one on the main level where the noise came from, one in the basement where he was living. 10 bathrooms, 8 bedrooms, a game room, a library, and 2 living rooms. His father had done very well in the real estate business, as his mother liked to point out to Sterling about every 3rd month. He'd never been a conformist, and it showed as all 5 of his older brothers had gone on to law school at William & Mary, or medical school at Johns Hopkins, or banking and finance at Stanford. Sterling had graduated in the middle of his class from the police academy in Salt Lake City. Still, he steadily climbed the stairs, 2 feet planted before lifting that blasted left leg. His mind wandered through a list of who could possibly be at the cabin. His parents had gone to Madagascar for a university internship in January and certainly wouldn't return only 3 months into the 8-month program. His brothers all had a key to the cabin, but everyone but Rex lived in other states. Rex lived in Missoula, an hour and a half away, running their father's real estate brokering firm, and he hadn't mentioned coming up to the cabin.